Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Outreach. Today, we're doing something a little bit different. We're in mid-April, and we are all working remotely due to the COVID pandemic. And so this is the first interview that we're doing using Zoom. So it might sound a little bit different than the other interviews, but stick with us and you'll get the same great information. I've said many times before that education is so important at Ellen Becker Investment Group, and that's why we do this show, so people can be educated about the resources that are available in our community. When you prioritize the accumulation of knowledge, you can make the best possible decision with the best possible outcome being the result. Martin Luther King Jr. said the true goal of education is intelligence plus character. According to MLK, intelligence, which is defined as the ability to acquire and apply knowledge, is not enough in and of itself. You need to add that character piece to the equation. So how do you build character? Well, one way is through life experiences. On today's show, we're going to talk about building character through education and life experiences, specifically with those that identify with disabilities. My first guest today is Ashley Kammer, Children's Programming Coordinator from Balance Inc., which is a Milwaukee nonprofit organization that's providing a number of different types of educational opportunities for both adults and children who identify with either a physical or a cognitive disability. Welcome to the show today, Ashley.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We are really glad you're here. We're excited to hear all about Balance Inc. If you tell us a little bit about your role, and how did Balance begin as an organization and evolve into what it is today?
Yeah, well, so my role is working with the children's program, which is fairly new, and I'm really excited to kind of get into that. But I think first, it would probably be best to just kind of start with what Balance is and kind of what our, like, what our heart is, why we do what we do.
We'd love to hear that, the passion piece. Yeah.
I was brought to Balance just because of the love of working with, well, just working with people in general, but the love of working with people who have some sort of barrier in their life. You know, I'm just really passionate about how to help them realize their worthiness and their purpose. I, you know, have a personal experience with just growing up with a brother on the autism spectrum. And so just have seen as a, you know, personal, you know, having that being a part of my life, seeing his struggles and just the struggles or more difficulties there might be on the family. And so, you know, just that passion has kind of been instilled in me just from a kid, just from having him as my brother. And
yeah, that's the connection piece, right? That's,
yes,
that's why, that's where the passion comes in, because you're connecting on a personal level.
Yes, most definitely. So actually, I've been working with adults and with children with disabilities for a large portion of my life. But actually, just this past summer, I was introduced to Balance in Grafton, and it's an amazing organization.
You had said that the organization started in 1991.
Yes.
So it's been around for a little while.
It has been around for a little while. So the adult piece of the organization started in 1991. A couple by the name of Craig and Sandy Modell, they were working in more of like an institutionalized setting. With their own personal experience of being in that field and working in that, they just really saw the need for better programming to, you know, give their participants and the people in their lives a better quality of life. So really, the Balance kind of has like a grassroots sort of startup in that way of just really seeing a need and answering that through the heart.
And that was specifically with adults.
Yes.
Correct. That's how it got started. So. Yep. Did you see the success of the adult program then and want to replicate that for children, or why was the children's program started?
Yes, that was started in 1991. I think our children's program then kind of came into the picture in 2005 is when we really started working with children with the county and realizing that obviously a person who has a disability their process doesn't just start in adulthood, right? Like their process of just being an individual starts in childhood. So I think it was really like hearing the needs that were expressed through families who were supporting adults in our adult programs, and just the adults themselves even sharing some gaps maybe they didn't receive when they were children, things that they would have liked to have been able to do, or, you know, just ways that they could have been better supported to feel more strong and independent as adults. And so really, I think a lot of those ideas helped form and inform the beginning of the children's program.
And there's two, you had mentioned that there's a special summer recreation program, which is for the kids ages 5 to 15, and then a social skills program, which was piloted in 2019, which is ages 5 to 17, correct?
Correct. Okay. Yes. So in 2005 is when our organization was approached by the Ozaukee County, because they really liked what we were doing with our adults. So actually it kind of started by a question through the county. They had asked us if we could help them replicate what we're doing with the adults for the children. And so that first program that you mentioned, the summer recreation program, that's what began in 2005. And that started with just us serving between 20 and 25 kids. It really started actually kind of out of using just like high school space, doing kind of like circle group activities, socializing in those aspects, but it's grown over the years to now where we're able to go to various places throughout not just Ozaukee County but Milwaukee. You know, we go to water parks and we go swimming, we go to different museums, we're always looking at creating more partnerships and branching out. We have a new place that we go to be able to give these kids different experiences and just get out in their communities and get connected.
Okay. Well, give us some examples here on how the programs impacted participants and or families.
Yes. I think between the summer recreation program, which is kind of what I was just explaining, and our social skills program, we've seen huge growth just in some of our kids specifically who are able to participate in both programs. For example, we had one of our kiddos was just really struggling to feel comfortable in an environment that, you know, he was never in before. And so even just over the course of a couple of months, just seeing him open up and start speaking to the children around him, start asking questions or being more sociable, you know, that's even just given parents just such a big hope that, you know, okay, they're feeling safe. Here's a safe place for them to grow. And it's just been awesome to witness that and
to be a part of it.
Yes, to be a part of it, most definitely.
Yeah. So it seems like it's a safe place to grow in a supportive environment, not just for the kids, but for the families too, right?
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah. Well, we talk about collaboration and how important it is when you're trying to provide the best possible solution and encouragement to your clients, your membership base, the people that you serve, right? That includes not only other nonprofits, but also community partnerships and volunteers. We're going to learn more about how balance works with others when we return. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Ashley Kammerer, Children's Programming Coordinator from Balance Inc. Just a reminder that we're coming to you today from our studio in Pewaukee via a Zoom call. Given the current COVID pandemic, we are all working remotely. We're being responsible in that regard. And so we are doing this on a Zoom call, so it may sound a little bit different, but we're still bringing you the great information as we have always done. Many nonprofits say that they couldn't sustain themselves and do what they do without the help of community partners and volunteers. So Ashley, help us understand then, how does Balance Inc. sustain themselves?
Well, first of all, we have a really great working relationship with the Ozaukee County Department of Human Services. They've been able to provide funding for our summer recreation program. And in working with them,
We've been able to start and pilot the social skills program, which started in 2019. The goal of our social skills program is to give kind of children and families connection to us during the school year, whereas the summer program is just during the summer. So the social skills program, we're really working to help them stay connected to their community, but also to just give them opportunities to just grow as people.
You had talked before about, or we were saying how important volunteers are. So you have volunteers from the high school, and because the social skills program goes 2 hours every week, do you have the high school students stepping out of their normal programming and helping out, or do you have teachers that help out at the social skills program?
So for our social skills program, we have high school volunteers that come, and some of the high school volunteers that volunteer at our summer recreation program also come and help for our social skills program. Okay. But what's been really amazing to see is some of the kids that have gone through our summer recreation program as participants and have aged out. So that means that they're over the age of 15, but yet they still want to stay connected to Balance in some way. They've been able to come back and volunteer their time and work with our children's program. So they have graduated and are now kind of coming back to really give back. And also it helps them to continue to grow, you know, in their job skills and just in their own like personal skills in a safe environment that they've grown in. So it's really come full circle.
Do you have, I'm thinking about your example when you said that you have a brother that's on the autism spectrum. I would imagine if you have some high school kids that are in that same situation that can lend some expertise because they are familiar with it, that would be helpful on both sides for the volunteer and for the student that's participating. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So it almost provides a mentorship piece. And then I guess kind of a twofold mentorship piece, one where they can be mentored by, you know, the staff, and then where they're kind of funneling their knowledge and their, you know, their life stories down through the children that we're able to serve as well.
And then community partnerships, those are also vital to the success of your program, right?
Yes.
What are some of the organizations that you partner with?
As you said, they're so important to what we can do. We bring in a new community partner once a week. So some of the people we've worked with are Gathering on the Green. They've been able to provide musicians to come in and do music therapy with us. Been working with local artists. They come in, do various art projects. So we're really able to work with independent artists in the community as well as, you know, smaller art galleries. The kids have really done really well with different animal encounters that have come in. Anything that's hands-on, like the Schlitz Audubon Center and Canine Ministries has been able to come in with some of their emotional support dogs. So just really, those partnerships are just, you know, vital to everything that we do.
The sciences, you have River Edge Nature Center and Sunflower Ministries, which is a global partnership.
Yes. So for our sciences, yep, we do. We work with the River Edge Nature Center, and the Sunflower Ministries, our global partnership, is something that we're in the middle of developing. They're out of Uganda. And so we're working to get our kids connected with kids who are in similar life scenarios just across the globe. So trying
That's
to
wonderful.
Yeah, just trying to build relationships in not only in our community, but kind of everywhere. So that's something newer that we're working on.
That's fascinating. You know, yes. I imagine that being able to reach across the globe and interact or interface with someone in that shares similar situations is very, very good for the kids.
Yeah.
You also, in terms of arts, you work with an organization called Pink Umbrella, which is a theater organization. And we're actually going to be talking with Katie Cummings from Pink Umbrella in our next session. But what are some of your future goals for your kids program specifically?
One of the biggest things that we're looking for, and that I guess like our biggest goal is to just expand our community partnerships. So, you know, while we just explained or just listed, you know, a handful of people that we work with, we would love to be able to just get connected in more places throughout the community, not necessarily just Ozaukee County, throughout Milwaukee. Really, I think it's a great opportunity for anyone who is, who has a passion, really. It's just about bringing other people with their passions, whatever it is. You know, if you have a passion for woodworking or a passion for, even if you have a passion for insects, really anything, it's just a great place to have people share what their passions are and really just building community in that way. And that's really what we're looking for.
Okay. And I think it's important that people know too, that you're outside of Ozaukee County. So you take, field trips, I guess, for lack of a better word. You were talking about some of these places that you go. So you go to other places and then you also have partners that come in to you, correct?
Correct. In the summer we go out kind of every day. And then during the school year, we like to have partners come in since our time frame is so much more limited just to the 2 hours.
Okay. And then again, before we go, I just want to spend a little bit more time on the children's program specifically. So Balance Inc., just so people understand, is an organization that does provide both adult and children interaction.
Yeah.
And you specifically, Ashley, are working with the children's program. And the two children's programs are the summer recreation program, which is for kids ages 5 to 15. And then the social skills program, which just started in 2019, and that's for kids ages 5 to 17. So the obviously the summer recreation program goes through the summer. That's the one that is that one the one that just goes Monday through Friday, or you have Tuesdays and Thursdays on that one?
So, yep, the summer recreation program is Monday through Friday, and then the social skills program is on Tuesdays and Thursdays, depending on which age group they fall in. Yep.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that we all understand the differences between the two. And then if people are interested in reaching out, again, we talked about collaboration and how important that is. So if people want to reach out either through volunteering, you're looking for high school students, correct?
We're looking for high school students. We're looking for, anyone who is interested in giving their time and just working with people who are just full of so much life. And we're just looking for anyone, whether it's high school kids, whether it's someone who's retired, whether it's, you know, someone who just has a passion for working with people with disabilities, or even someone who isn't quite sure what they're passionate about yet. There's definitely somewhere to be plugged into.
Sure. That's good. That's important to remember, because there are people out there that say, I have a passion for children, or I have a passion for working with children who have disabilities, either cognitive or physical, but I'm not sure what I want to do. So they can reach out to you and just say, I have time. I have a passion for this. Where do you need me to plug in? And you can help them with that, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So then how would people get a hold of you or Balance Inc.? What's the best way for them to make a connection?
The two easiest ways is to go to our Facebook page, which is going to be Balance Inc. On Facebook. You can just look that up. Otherwise, you can feel free to call us at 262-268-6811.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ashley, thank you for joining us today and sharing your passion working with kids and how Balance Inc. is providing services to adults and kids that identify with a disability. So thank you for joining us today, Ashley, and sharing your passion and letting the audience know how Balance Inc. is providing education and services to the disability community. Thank you.
Thank you.
There was a study done in 2018 in the UK that concluded that there's a positive relationship between one's involvement in the theater arts and emotional intelligence. But how about emotional intelligence in the disability community? How has being involved in theater helpful for those that identify with a disability. We'll be right back to talk about that further.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I want to mention again that we're coming to you via a Zoom recording. Given the current pandemic, we are being socially responsible and doing our recordings remotely. So it may sound a little bit different in today's interview, but we're still bringing you the same great information. In the last session, I mentioned that there was a study done in the UK in 2018 that confirmed the positive relationship between one's involvement in the theater arts and emotional intelligence. My next guest is going to talk about that relationship as it relates to individuals who identify with a disability. Katie Cummings is the executive director of Pink Umbrella, a local theater group that connects the love of the arts, specifically theater, and personal development for a wonderful group of adults from the disability community. So thanks for being with us today, Katie.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So I understand you have a bit of experience teaching and training in that theater space, and you are very fulfilled doing that. So why did you feel a need to start a nonprofit like Pink Umbrella?
Sure. So I've been teaching theater for over 20 years of my life. And my most recent job was being the academy director at a local children's theater in Milwaukee. And in 2012, we started a program for high school students on the autism spectrum. And those 2 weeks were transformative. We very quickly took those 2 weeks and we created programming that went through the school year. And we wound up taking children of all ages with a variety of diagnoses. And then in April of 2018, kind of this perfect storm happened that changed the trajectory of my career. So I had parents of students who had aged out of the program at the theater that I was working for. And I also attended a conference called the Big Umbrella Festival at the Lincoln Center in New York. There, I was engaged in this brand new land of what they are calling sensory immersive theater. It's theater that is done in small batches, and there are like 8 participants with their caregivers, or they call them carers, across the pond. And the actors engage in sensory activities with the participants throughout the course of the play. And it's just one of these like beautiful things that as I sat there, I thought to myself, Milwaukee should have a place like this and should have theater like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So at that same conference, I was sitting at a table with a gentleman from Scottsdale, Arizona, who informed me that there is a theater company in his town, Scottsdale. It's called Detour Theater. I've been able to be there twice now to see their shows. They have 65 adults in their ensemble with developmental differences. And they just produced Rent and Newsies this past June.
Oh, very good. I haven't seen either of those, but they're on my list.
You should. They're fabulous.
I bet they are.
And so, you know, adults from adults kind of across the nation have an opportunity. Adults with disabilities have an opportunity to act. But not here in the city. So that combined with parents asking me what's next, you know, for my kid, who's now 18, their diagnosis doesn't go away. But the program that we were running stopped, you know, it's a children's theater, not an adult theater. I decided to leave a job that I thought was going to be my forever place and start the Pink Umbrella Theater Company. So in September of 2018, we opened our doors, and we've been going ever since. And it's just a delightful place to work and be and create.
I bet. Well, what's the significance of the name?
Pink Umbrella. Oh, sure.
We're all dying to know. Tell us.
Sure. So as I mentioned, that conference that I attended out in New York, the Big Umbrella Festival, really changed how I view theater and how we teach theater and how to create accessible theater. So I grabbed that name Umbrella from that festival. And then PINK came out of the need to honor our students. So one student who really kind of leapt right into my heart. She didn't even worm her way in there. She just kind of leapt into my heart in that very first year that we were all together. Her name is Emily. And she had autism, and she used to wear hair bows in her hair, and she had hair bows for every occasion. So if it was St. Patrick's Day, her hair bows were green. If it was Halloween, she had orange and black, but her favorite color was pink, and she wore that most of all. But Emily used to come into the building, and she literally skipped down the hall to class. But before she went to the classes, she would stop in the office and she would say to us, "This is the only place where I can be me." Aww. And those moments really change you as a human being, right? Like when you're teaching theater, you don't really think about the fact that you're providing a place for people to be me. We lost Emily 4 years ago. She had complications with her medicine. She had epilepsy in addition to her autism, and she passed away from a grand mal seizure 4 years ago. So PINK is actually for her.
Great way to honor her memory.
Yeah. And nice. Also just as a representative of all the students who come into our place where they feel safe to be me. So every day, every time I utter that phrase, the Pink Umbrella Theater, I know, and our teachers know, that we are honoring all students who are different in some way, shape, or form.
We're all different, right? We all have our strengths and weaknesses. So
exactly.
That's what makes the world wonderful, because there's so much diversity, right?
Totally. And we're bringing our best selves, to the room. And we're coming as complete human beings and whole human beings to just be me.
Yeah. Well, explain then, what is the mission specifically of Pink Umbrella Theater?
Sure. So we wanted to provide a place where anybody who identifies with a physical, intellectual, or emotional disability could experience theater, either by participating or becoming an audience member. So our three kind of pillars, which we're still building, we're relatively young, is to provide classes, to provide professional theater shows for actors to be in, and then also to provide the sensory immersive theater that I mentioned before, where young people and people with complex disabilities can join us for a theatrical experience that's built specifically for them.
Okay. So are you looking to add productions in the coming years?
Yeah, our whole next step of our programming, right now we're teaching classes and teaching a lot of them, but our whole next step in our programming is to do a professional theater show to secure the funding where everybody is paid from box office to backstage. That's the goal. So we're going to do it.
Can you give us a sneak peek into what you're thinking? Do you have any like ideas in the back? I'm sure you have ideas floating back there. You maybe don't want to share that, but like you were talking about you, the other organization that did Rent, and maybe you've got some ideas of.
I do. There's a lovely play out there, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we can get the rights for it, but it's called Working, and it's based upon the book Stud Terkel's interviews during the 70s, where he interviewed workers across the nation and then put the book together. It's a beautiful story. It's a musical. And that's the one that we want to open with. We want to open with a show where people who identify with a disability are portraying characters that have jobs in a variety, construction and receptionists and office work and presidents of banks and those kinds of things. So that's the play, that's the musical that we're looking at right now.
That's the one that's in your mind. All right, well, we wish you the best of luck in that regard. Yeah, we'll look for that. What do you find is the biggest success that you've seen in your years of teaching the disability population?
Yeah, so, Ashley was talking about social and emotional growth, and that's not something that people typically think about theater, that theater teaches you, but it's definitely a strong component of of what theater teaches. And then we at Pink Umbrella really focus on those two things. So one story that really sticks out, there was a student who was working with us for a week. He had taken classes with us for several years, and he was walking down the hall towards his classroom, and I was walking towards his father in this particular moment. And the dad said, "I love you, son." And the son said, the student said, "I love you too, dad." And the dad dropped to his knees and just started bawling. And the student kept right walking down the hall to the class where he was working on his social and emotional skills. And we immediately rushed to the father and said, "Is everything okay?" And he, through happy tears, said, "It's the first time he's ever said, 'I love you' back." Mm-hmm. And I think that theater provides that safe space for students to explore those things when their brains are not necessarily connecting in the same way that a typically developing student does. I think just being in that hallway and knowing that he was heading down to a classroom where he was working on expressing emotion and recognizing emotion and speaking emotion, I think he felt safe enough to say that. And it was just a really powerful moment where we as the teaching staff really realized how this translates into daily life. So that for me is probably the moment that sticks out most of all is knowing that we weren't the only people who had a part of that, but we had some part of that recognition between those two family members and what a powerful impact that had.
Absolutely. Very fulfilling, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, Katie's going to talk about the teaching approach Pink Umbrella uses and why it's effective. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by the Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Outreach. And I'm talking with Katie Cummings from Pink Umbrella. And we are doing a Zoom call because we are being socially responsible and working remotely. So we're doing things a little bit differently with this interview, but we're bringing you the same great information that we always do. So you're going to describe for us then, Katie, how you teach students on this with this very specific population. But before we do that, talk about what theater in particular teaches individuals.
Sure. So as I mentioned in the first segment, right, theater teaches us, obviously, we work our body, our voice, and our imagination as actors. We need those things in order to become more empathetic actors, to become to create characters that are three-dimensional. But it also teaches us social skills. It teaches us emotional recognition, intelligence, and expression. And then the other things that theater teaches us too, which I've been preaching for years, are teamwork, how to be on time, work as an ensemble, job readiness skills really are some skills that we're learning in theater while we're all working together as an ensemble, whether it be on a play or a musical or in a classroom.
Okay. So then how does Pink Umbrella's approach to teaching and conducting theater, how does that come into play?
Sure. So we don't teach theater really any differently, but we do make some accommodations. And our teachers in our professional development sessions, what we're asking them to do is, work in themes. So sometimes we're working directly with a story, or other times we're working directly with a specific theme, building a character or the physicality of a character. We want our students to find connection with each other and connection with the script or the words that they're working with. We want to make sure that our targets are clearly defined. We also want to make sure that we're giving everybody the time that they need and space that they need to process. And then in every single classroom, we are trying to hit all eight of the senses, right? So sight, sound, taste, and smell, which is what most of us are familiar with, but proprioception and vestibular processing and introception are other things that we are working on in our classrooms. Proprioception is our relationship to time and space. So in theater, we use what we call hard focus and soft focus in order to do that. Our vestibular processing, we want to make sure that we are aware of where we are in relationship to gravity, right? So some of our movement and some of our exercises really focus on that, with helping our individuals with physical limitations. Figure out where they are. The introception is, you know, just mindfulness and breathing and, you know, making sure that we are taking in the moment that we are in right now. So what sets Pink Umbrella apart is that we really are focusing on kind of all of those eight senses, in addition to teaching that team building and community and connection and communication.
Okay, so if there's an individual that's participating in your classes, they're going to get those things that someone who is typically developing would get in terms of teaching or learning about theater, but then also getting those extra pieces that are specific to the population that you work with.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the exact way to describe it.
Okay. So you can't possibly provide all different types of learning opportunities yourself. I mean, that's obviously why we have as many nonprofits as we have in the state, 54,000 plus. So give us some idea of some of the partnerships that you have and how you use those partnerships.
Sure. So, Ashley and Balance Inc., like, we went out and we worked with her students on those Tuesday and Thursday nights for her social skills classes and really just brought in a lot of the same social skills, but just in a different way. So we're exploring a lot of opportunities and partnerships like that with organizations that work specifically with individuals who identify with a disability. You know, maybe, so I have a lot of conversations with people who are in Ashley's position across organizations to determine how we can bring this big, huge landscape of theater and really reinforce some of the skills that they're trying to teach on a regular basis. We've done some workshops with Friendship Circle, Life Navigators, and Best Buddies, and because we are a smaller nonprofit, we do not have a space right now that is our own. So places like Gigi's Playhouse, DanceWorks, Plymouth UCC, and Luther Manor and the JCC in Milwaukee have opened up their doors for us to have classes. Hosting our classes. So we're kind of all over the city of Milwaukee on a regular basis, teaching our classes in four or five different homes every session.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, so how can the community then support you? So, I mean, you've got these partnerships with these organizations, and that's wonderful. But Ashley was talking about how critical volunteers are to her organization. I don't know that you necessarily would use volunteers, do you? But, I mean, if someone is listening out there and they say they want to get involved somehow with Pink Umbrella, what are some areas that they can help?
Yeah, sure. So we're actually embarking on building out our board. You know, so if there's people out there who are looking to become board members, committee members, we are also always looking to make sure that our lesson plans meet, you know, occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, special ed, right? So if anybody's got an expertise in those areas that could help lend their expertise in their field and looking at our lesson plans to say, oh, if you do this over here, if you switch this up over there, you're actually, you know, hitting these other other things that some of your students might benefit from. We believe in collaboration, right? So if people are interested in coming into our classrooms to share their expertise in any way, shape, or form, we're absolutely open to that. And then too, eventually we want our own home, right? Like we would like to have our own space somewhere in the city of Milwaukee. And, you know, so maybe somebody's got a classroom that they're not using and could donate it for us to host our classes and perhaps even our shows there.
Okay. And of course, financial support is always a nice gift, right?
We're never going to say no.
That's right. That's right. Well, what do you want people to take away from this interview, Katie?
I think the most important thing is that theater, you know, as actors, whether we're typically developing or we identify with a disability, we are taking the words on the paper and creating three-dimensional characters from them. And that is something that anybody and everybody can do, right? So our teachers and our directors are building to the strengths of the individuals in our classrooms to create theater. And that, to me, I think is probably one of the best things on earth. One of the greatest gifts that I've been given is the wherewithal or the push, you know, back in April of 18 to start this company. Theater is inclusive and theater is accessible, and we need to just continue to create great art.
Okay, well, if people are interested in getting involved some way or participating, becoming a student, what's the best way for people to reach you or to reach Pink Umbrella?
Sure. So everything that we're currently doing is on our website at www.pinkumbrellatheater.org. We also have a Facebook page. And if you want to give me a call to discuss any ideas you might have or any inspiration you have from this interview, our number is 414-507-3511.
Okay, super. Say one more time your phone number.
414-507-3511.
Okay. Well, thank you for being with us today, Katie, from the Pink Umbrella Theater, and sharing your passion.
Thank you.
About what you do and how you make a difference for people in the community. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
And I'd also like to thank Ashley Kammer from Balance Inc. And thank her for her passion and for sharing the message that they, for the services that they provide as well. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, or you'd like to be considered as a guest on the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com, or you can call our office at 262-691-3200. Join us next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. to learn more about some great people and great nonprofits that are doing great things in our community. You can tune in either on the AM 1130 dial on your radio, or you can go to News Talk 1130 on your computer or your tablet. You can listen on your cell phone via the iHeartRadio app, or you can visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows. And we are excited to share that we are also available on demand, so these interviews can be listened to across the country and even globally through Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or Apple Podcast. I hope you found the information we shared today helpful. Hopefully it'll get you thinking about how you can use your passion and your purpose to help others in some way. Find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a wonderful Sunday, and stay safe and stay well.